Coming up on today's show,
we work with folks of all abilities. So we have folks that are on the autism spectrum, folks that are blind or deaf or recovering from a stroke or amputees or folks with cerebral palsy, wheelchair bound. We truly don't turn anybody away, and we find a way to get them out on the hill and out sliding.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it, honestly, just once a week. While you are there on the website doing that, look to at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. So many times on this show, we hear guests talk about having been playing sports since they were a little kid. A lot of times it's accompanied by saying, we were a sports household, and the guest might mention that his or her father or mother were very active playing whatever sport it was. In fact, and this might have even been somewhat recently, I know there have even been a couple guests who have said that their grandfather had sports participation extensive enough to be worth mentioning. In other words, there's almost a foundation that the family, you can argue, has been built on sports-wise. That's okay. I've talked over and over about the benefits of sports. However, in that I go on to say, paraphrasing, that our faith has to come first. And so the strongest roots and the ones we really need to make sure we're talking about are those of our faith. In the New Testament, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 say, quote, so as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted in him, and built upon him, and established in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a pitcher on his high school baseball team, including being All-State and having thrown a no-hitter at a tournament where he made the All-Tournament squad. He went on to college baseball at both Bradley University and the University of Minnesota Duluth. He also played in the Northwoods League for the Alexandria Blue Anchors. Almost immediately after his baseball career, he delved into the world of skiing with notable runs such as Jackson Hole and Big Sky, among others. He even combined skiing with faith, as we will hear about today. Plus, he also served as an adaptive ski instructor. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Robbie Mouton.
Thanks, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, Robbie. We have a lot to get to today. But first, take us back to the beginning. Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size? And for that matter, where do you live nowadays?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Woodbury, Minnesota. Family was my mom, dad, and my younger sister and I, so just the four of us. And currently I'm living in Rogers, Minnesota, so about an hour on the other side of the Twin Cities.
Okay. Well, I know you were raised Catholic, so share with the audience about your Catholic education, who the family member was that you say was a big influence, a role model of faith, and a moment of spiritual growth that you say you had at the age of just 10 years old.
Yeah, so I was born and raised Catholic. Grew up going to St. Ambrose of Woodbury in Woodbury, Minnesota. I guess fun fact: the parish was based out of a high school gymnasium and a high school theater until the year 2000. We
Whoa.
finally raised enough money to build the parish, and so
Wow.
my kindergarten class was the first class to go through kindergarten through eighth grade at that school. So there's pictures of me with a small shovel helping break ground, if you will, on that site when I was 4 or 5 years old. So, yeah, really beautiful parish. Went to mass there pretty regularly with my family on Saturday or Sunday evenings, depending on sporting events. Received all the sacraments through school. Obviously, being a Catholic school, we had religion class and learned about our faith in that way. But yeah, I would say big faith influence or model of faith was my grandma. Lovingly call her Mama, is a Cajun indicator, so she and her family is all from Louisiana, but just a woman of very, very deep, beautiful faith who has inspired me to pursue that same faith and find the joy that she finds through her faith and her relationship with Christ. And I guess just a small story of that. So my grandpa, who has since passed away, had a series of strokes in the early 2000s, which left him essentially immobile and in a wheelchair. And my mama just had the most beautiful example of love in how she served him and cared for him. And my grandpa was no small man. He was like 6'4", 6'5", and my mama was like 5'2". So just this little Cajun lady taking care of her husband, I guess, in his time of greatest need, and just to see the beauty of their marriage and the love for each other, the patience my grandpa had for my mama and the love my mama had for him, and all of that through their faith enhanced by the Lord. So just there's never enough thanks that I could give my mama for the faith that she has shared with me in her example.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. And tell the audience what I'm referring to about at 10 years old, a moment of spiritual growth that you say you had.
Sure. So when I was 10, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So I lost a pretty significant amount of weight, and there were several other symptoms that led my parents taking me to the doctor. And that evening, I was admitted to the hospital and brought in for tests and essentially regulated my blood sugar. But I remember laying in bed at night and essentially asking God, why me? As a 10-year-old kid whose life has suddenly changed, it's like, what did I do to deserve this? Why am I the one going through this? And over the course of the couple of days in the hospital, I would say the next couple of days were more educational and teaching me how to deal with this disease that I would now be stuck with essentially the rest of my life. I got to meet other kids that were in the hospital. They had like a game room that was sponsored by the Minnesota Wild. And so we would go and play little hockey or air hockey or whatever in the room. And I remember talking to some kids that had spent their entire lives in that hospital. And, you know, another one who was on their third kidney transplant, and just thinking how lucky I was to be leaving at the end of 2 or 3 days and being able to live my life. And starting as why me and leaving as how fortunate am I that this has happened to me, but also that I am still able to go do all of the things that I love.
Yeah, amen. Amen. What a great lesson. And parents, those of you who we're all praying for and have so many people praying for you that are dealing with children that have varying degrees of health issues, I hope there's something that Robbie just said that can help you with those challenges and something that maybe you can use as a lesson for your son or your daughter, whoever it may be. Robbie, when and how did you first start into sports? And other than skiing in your adult years, was it always only baseball that you played growing up?
Baseball was definitely my first true love. I remember going to Twins games at the Metrodome back in the day with my dad when I was very likely still in pull-ups or diapers. And I'd always had the dream of being a Major League Baseball player. So I remember I was one of the few kids that I think took T-ball fairly seriously and didn't understand why guys weren't throwing the ball to first base to get the guy out. But so I remember as long as I can remember playing baseball. I played basketball from like second grade through sophomore year in high school. And as a 6'2", 140-pound center, that didn't go very well for me playing with guys that were much bigger than me. So I did end up stopping playing basketball grew up playing golf with my dad recreationally, and then yeah, skiing in like middle school time frame up until I started playing more basketball and getting more serious with baseball, and wanted to be injury averse as far as not wanting to get hurt to put those other sports on the line. But baseball was always my true love, the thing that brought me joy, the thing that I just very much enjoyed doing, and more specifically, I guess, pitching. Just being on the mound felt like a sacred place to me, and had that confidence when I took the mound that I would be able to do what I needed to do to help the team at the end of the day.
Well, and let's be honest, throwing that no-hitter, that had to be an absolute highlight for someone that loved baseball as much as you just described.
It was pretty wild. It was a cold October day, and I remember not really feeling that great being in Iowa in October. A 50-degree day isn't exactly a day you want to be pitching, but we were playing a team from St. Louis that was a really great travel club team, and just one thing after another kept stacking up. It seems like so long ago, but there were definitely a fair number of strikeouts that game. My teammates behind me made a ton of phenomenal plays. I remember towards the end of the game, the center fielder making a diving catch in the last inning to preserve that no-hitter, and it didn't really feel real that it all went down and happened. It was kind of like, oh, I guess that, yeah, that was the no-hitter. But again, couldn't have done it without the team behind me. It's baseball is very much a team sport, and you have eight other guys on that field that have to do their job to be able to have something like that happen. And very fortunate that we had a very high caliber team that was able to all band together that day.
So now that we've laid some nice groundwork, take us through your years at Bradley University because you had your share of ups and downs, both baseball-wise and faith-wise.
Yeah, so Bradley was definitely, I would say, a push for me coming out of high school. It was about 7 hours away from where I grew up, and so definitely was very far away from home. Also, you come out of high school being one of the best players in the state and then coming to a team where you're maybe one of the worst players on the team.
Whoa.
So it's definitely a very dynamic change. And Bradley was Division One. We definitely had Division One athletes that were on that baseball team. It was a tough transition, I would say, between going to school for engineering and then having lifting in the morning and 3 hour, 4 hour practices in the evening. There were definitely some really long days. Also, in the fall, our pitching coach had implemented this rule where if you had walks or you gave up in certain counts, you had to run a certain amount of pulls or from foul pole to foul pole the next day. And after a couple of tough fall outings, I quickly had racked up 3 to 5 miles of pulls before practices for a couple weeks straight. I ended up losing about 20 pounds in that time. I guess I went from being a pitcher to a cross-country athlete, and that's how your body copes with that. So it was definitely a very big challenge. I think school was definitely stressful as well, just as far as engineering was a whole different animal from high school classes. And I guess everything that I felt like I was successful at, or the things that I felt good at, or that I identified as being good at, were not the case. And I guess I fell back on my faith. And I remember something my dad always said growing up is an hour spent with God is never an hour wasted. And so I found a lot of solace and comfort in going to Mass. Bradley had an 8 p.m. student Mass on Sunday night, so I was able to go after Sunday evening lifts and just started to get, I guess, more plugged in with the Catholic community there. We at the time had Focus Missionaries and a Newman Center there as well. And yeah, there were several people that took me under their wing, and I would say viewed me as a child of God and not just the baseball player. And I found comfort in that as well.
And in there, you just mentioned that Bradley University had a Newman Center. You went on a retreat with the Newman Center, and you say that you, quote, found God on a whole new level, end quote. Describe what happened that resulted in you feeling that way.
Yeah, it was a Koinonia retreat, and it was put on by the students, which was really beautiful. But the whole purpose of that retreat was to fully experience God's love for us and that desire for close relationship. And it was an interesting retreat where the team was on a road trip, and I was not invited on that road trip. And so I was able to go to this retreat. I ended up becoming very close with one of my now best friends, Alex DeVerde, who ran track at Bradley. He went on to be a focus missionary, and now ironically is in the group of guys that I ski and snowboard with. So it's funny how God has allowed our paths to continue side by side, but really found a brother in faith through Alex, and remember adoration at that retreat and just how beautiful that was to be in God's presence and fully realizing that this is God's presence. And that's where I began to gravitate towards being with the Eucharist, especially in times of great need, and finding so much comfort in God's physical presence and what a gift that he's given us, that he is physically with us if we desire to be with him, I guess, in adoration, whether that's with the Blessed Sacrament exposed or in the tabernacle. But it just completely changed my life. And out of that, again, found a brother in Christ that I could walk with and grew with that Newman community as well. And I guess by the time I left Bradley, the folks that I hold closely in my heart and lovingly and dearly are those folks from the Newman Center, which, again, going into Bradley as a baseball player, who somebody who fully identified themselves as a baseball player, and that was where my worth lay. Coming out of that retreat and recognizing that I am a son of God, and that's where my identity lies, and that completely changed my perspective on life and where I put my worth.
I don't know what it is. There's something, and obviously, folks, this is episode 282, so I've had lots and lots and lots of conversations over the last 5+ years. There's something that is moving in this conversation that is really touching me, that wants to encourage you, audience. The courage that Robbie has, the confidence that he has to come on the show, to be so proud of his Catholic faith, to speak so openly about it publicly. It's been a while, but I used to say a lot on this show, be bold in your faith. Don't be afraid to step out in boldness and be proud of your Catholic faith, to evangelize. And I know that we all have different comfort levels, so I understand that certain people just draw a line. But as I said, I know the Holy Spirit moves in all of these conversations every week, but the Holy Spirit's moving and touching me in a way that I just felt compelled to say that, because just so much of what Robbie is saying just sounds so sincere, yet at the same time, I think there's a lot of power in the stories that he's sharing. And believe it or not, it does not end with Robbie saying that he found God on a whole new level, meaning there's another experience he had that he calls a, quote, life-changing trip. I want him to explain that for us and talk about his changing his sport from baseball to skiing. But first, it has occurred to me that there are things that I say on this show that don't end up on Catholic Sports Radio social media or in the weekly e-newsletter, but there are things that I do put on social media that I don't end up saying on this show or in the newsletter, and there are things that I put in the newsletter that don't get passed along on this show or on social media. While on the surface, it might look like the point of me saying that is make sure you're engaging in more than one place, the reality of it is that I'm wearing a lot of hats. There's a lot of work involved with running this Catholic Sports Radio ministry, keeping in mind that it's the small team of three people, me, myself, and I. So it's a lot of time that goes into keeping all these moving parts as well-oiled as I can, given the limitations of just being one person. It's not unlike how I have to pass on doing some things because of the cost attached to them, and the fact that I'm already having to try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover the various expenses that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, given that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. To that I say, if this show is helping you in your faith life, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if you see value in the work that I do to keep this ministry going every week for more than 5 years now, and you believe in the mix of faith and sports and would like to support these ongoing efforts, please prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. It's quite simple to do. There is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. As some listeners and guests who have done it would attest, that is fast, easy, and secure. There's no list of amounts to have to choose from. You simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving, and this will allow you to then use a credit card, a debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail, contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which of those two methods you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check. With your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Robbie, before all that, you were talking about having found God on a whole new level, and that was when you were at Bradley University. And lo and behold, you end up at the University of Minnesota Duluth, and as your faith story continues in baseball too, you end up going on what you call a life-changing trip.
The interesting thing, I remember the first day I showed up on campus, I went right to the Newman Center, as any good Catholic would. And again, knowing the community I'd found at Bradley, I wanted that so deeply at my new college. And I met Stephanie Parks. So she was a former D1 runner at Drake, who was a first year varsity Catholic missionary through Focus. So essentially ministering to athletes. And I remember her being super nervous, and she was like, "Hi, like, I'm a Focus missionary." And I was like, "Yeah, no, I love Focus. Like, this is this is so great. I'm Robbie. I'm on the baseball team." And I remember her eyes just lit up, and to this day, she tells me that God just essentially placed me right in front of her and said, like, "Hey, Steph, do this thing." In that conversation, she mentioned to me that Varsity Catholic did mission trips. And so she said, "Hey, we have this mission trip coming up to Puerto Rico over J-term. Is that something to be interested in?" And I was like, "Yeah, that sounds super great." They essentially do a multi-day baseball clinic for the boys in the town and a volleyball clinic for the girls. So I remember signing up. I remember fundraising through so many people's generosity, being able to go on that trip. And I had never really gone abroad or international before, so it was definitely a leap of faith from that perspective. We met up with other college athletes and Focus missionaries at the Houston airport, and for the next 4 or 5 days we're in Puerto Rico working with the kids, I would say, of some very impoverished areas on the west side of the island. And it was, again, like as you mentioned, life-changing from the perspective of the joy that these kids had. I mean, most of these kids didn't even have baseball gloves or a volleyball to play with. Like, all of the gear that they had was donated to the community. We had a bucket of gloves that we'd pull in and out of the parish every day to go do clinics and drills with the kids. And just to see how happy they were, how engaged they were, the generosity and the joy and the love from the local Puerto Rican community, the importance of faith to those people as well, was incredibly eye-opening. And also being very much in God's hands of, we stepped off the plane in Puerto Rico. We got on this giant yellow bus that had flames painted on the side of it. The drivers didn't even speak English. And it was like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing and where we're going. And it was just an absolutely incredible experience filled with working with kids and working with, like, sharing our faith and our faith story and how we'd gotten to the point where we were today. And I quite frankly think that all of us athletes and missionaries got so much more out of that trip than the baseball skills or the volleyball skills that we imparted on the kids there. And just forever thankful for that experience, and hold all of those people very close in my heart and in my prayers for sure. But it was an incredible experience.
Talk about changing from baseball to skiing, including, as I teased back in the intro, still incorporating your Catholic faith into that winter sport.
So definitely a unique pivot. I think, as you had mentioned, Bruce, I was on the baseball team at UMD. Essentially, I transferred in as a walk-on because I had transferred later in the season, and we were about a week out from the season starting. I'd had a little bit of a tough go. I essentially got a case of the yips, where I couldn't throw a strike for the life of me in the fall league, and transitioned to throwing submarine, so more like sidearm, lower arm angle delivery, just as I wasn't ready to quit. I wasn't ready to be done, and was successful. I wouldn't say I was going to go out and strike out everybody, but I could get out. And we just ended up in a situation where we had too many guys on the roster, and got called into the coach's office a week before they went to Florida and said, "Hey, there's not a place for you on this team anymore." And it was incredibly tough to be at the point in your career where somebody tells you you can't do this anymore. But I'm just so blessed that everything had worked out as hard as it was at Bradley and my experience there and transferring and seeing the writing on the wall. I had essentially been through it before. And this time was very much more open in God's plan for me, whatever that was. And as hard as it was in that moment to go back to my apartment and be in tears and be confused, I just continued to pray, Lord, if this is your will, like I don't understand it, but I'm okay with it, and help me to see your plan for me through this. And something that my father, who I'm incredibly thankful for, just a really great man, always told me was, it's not what happens to you that defines you, but how you deal with it. And so that was also being prayed. And in all of that, I realized, well, I can go skiing again, because I guess jokingly, I don't care if I break my arm now. Like, it's not that big of a deal if I get hurt. So I got on my dad's 20-year-old pair of skis up at Spirit Mountain in Duluth and just absolutely had a blast falling in love with it. I got some weird looks from the lifties, because here was this 6'2", 200-pound dude barreling down the hill and probably didn't look like I knew what I was doing on ancient equipment, but it was an absolute blast. And there were a couple other guys on the team that got cut alongside me. One of them was Kyle. So Kyle was a snowboarder, and I reached out to him, and I knew he was having a hard time. I said, hey, do you want to come skiing with me? And at the same time, one of my good buddies, Jake, who was a semi-pro snowboarder, also just an incredible man of faith, he and I got together and said, hey, like, I'm not on the baseball team anymore. We had handed that off to Brett, who I know was one of your previous athletes that you've interviewed. I want to start a skiing Bible study, a skiing snowboarder Bible study. Let's get after it. And Jake was so on board with it. And so we wrangled up all the guys that we knew at Newman that liked to ski and snowboard. We got Kyle involved. I know he was a fallen away Catholic. And so even just getting him back to Bible study, getting him to come to Mass was really beautiful. And it was so fun to go out and go skiing with these guys. I mean, we had a group of six Catholic dudes hitting 30-foot jumps in a row on a jump line. And you don't necessarily think about the skiers and snowboarders as, I guess, people of faith or faith-filled men and women. But, man, that was a fun group of people. And I think in ways, obviously, amongst us talking about our lives and our faith lives on the chairlift, but also just how we tried to radiate Christ's love and joy for others, and making that part of our prayer in our Bible study of help us to share Christ's love for others just through how we interact, and not just sitting on the chairlift with your earbuds in and not talking to people, but try to bring the proverbial vibes, if you will, as we use in the ski lingo, and try to share God's love with others on the hill.
That's beautiful, though. That's beautiful, though. And folks, in case you're not aware of who Robbie is referring to, 6 weeks ago on episode 276, that was the episode that came out on May 13th, Brett Milazzo was my guest. He is a baseball player to this day and mentioned Robbie on that interview. So if you did not hear it, I do strongly recommend that you go back and listen to my conversation with Brett Milazzo on episode 276. But while we're talking about skiing now, though, Robbie, explain to the audience what it means to be an adaptive ski instructor and how that came to be a reality for you.
For sure. All things back to God, of course, the master weaver of our lives. But one of the guys that I did music ministry with, another one of the things that I got into when I was done playing baseball, was a skier and up in Duluth, Craig. And he said, hey, dude, like, I know you like to ski. There's this program, Courage Kenny. We help people with disabilities and varying abilities learn how to ski using specialized equipment. Is that something you'd want to do? And totally jumped into it, got headfirst into it. I've been doing it now for 7 years, have continued it since when I moved back to the Twin Cities, and currently a trainer. So I help train in new instructors on how to do this. But essentially, we work with folks of all abilities. So we have folks that are on the autism spectrum, we have folks that are blind or deaf or recovering from a stroke or amputees or folks with cerebral palsy, wheelchair bound. We truly don't turn anybody away, and we find a way to get them out on the hill and out sliding using specialized equipment. So myself, I'm a bi-ski instructor. So think of like a reclined chair with two skis underneath and then two little training wheel skis in the front. And then I'm behind them tethered to help steer them and control their speed. And so it's an absolutely beautiful experience to work with these athletes, because that's how we refer to them. They truly are athletes, and in many ways braver and stronger than us able-bodied people would be. And to be a part of the best part of their week, and to be able to empower them to do something that they may not otherwise be able to do on their own, is such a gift and an incredible experience. And now being a trainer, I'm incredibly blessed to be able to help teach others the multiplication effect, or the compounding interest effect, of I'm not just working with the student that I've worked with for the last handful of years, but now I'm able to help bring in new people to the program, get them excited about helping others, empower them with the knowledge they need to go out and do the same. And it's a beautiful ministry in itself. And having a disability, and I would say a mild one at that, with my diabetes, it's another beautiful way for me to give back. Again, thinking back to that experience when I was 10, of how lucky I am to be able to now give back and help some of these people with varying abilities to be able to do the sport that I love right now.
Yeah, and I love that you refer to it as a ministry, because we all know that we are called to serve. And so, audience, if you think about the journey that you've heard that Robbie went on, from where he was defining himself as a baseball player and then going all the way to the point where he's told, we don't have a spot for you anymore, understand that obviously we're meant to encourage each other, and that's what I'm trying to do through this ministry, is encourage people to be strong in their faith. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be hard times. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be disappointment. So Robbie went home and was very emotional about it, but he was also in surrender to the Lord. And so we've heard where he went on from there, and it's no coincidence that through skiing, he was able to be in service to his brothers and sisters in Christ, as we're hearing about. And so to now bring this conversation full circle, at the start of our conversation, Robbie, you talked about your family, your grandmother's influence on your faith. You've mentioned your dad a couple times. Present day, you do regular ski trips with him and other Christian men. Describe all of that for the audience.
It's been such a joy. I think of the countless extra hours that God's blessed me with through skiing with my dad. My senior year in college, my dad and my buddy Craig, the adaptive ski guy, we went to Jackson Hole. And to be completely frank, I had no business being at Jackson Hole with the lack of skills that I had at that time. But we had such a good time that the next year we went back to Big Sky. And the year after that, we said, hey, let's extend the welcome out. And so every year now we go on a trip. There's seven or eight of us that go out. Like I had mentioned, Craig, who's a very devout Christian, is a part of that group. My dad being Catholic. We have John, who's a Lutheran pastor, who joins us. Tom, who's another devout Christian. My buddy Alex from Bradley, who's a snowboarder, incredible Catholic. My friend and coworker Donovan, who's also another man of great Catholic faith. So it's a different type of ski trip than most people think. When I tell people I'm going skiing, it's we get up at 5 a.m. and we're the first ones there and we're the last ones to leave.
Wow.
And then, by the way, we're sneaking in Saturday night mass at 5 p.m. at the Utah Newman Center and driving 40 minutes from the mountain in our ski gear to make sure we hit mass while we're there. So just incredibly blessed. And the brothership and the fellowship with that group of guys, I think the skiing is all awesome, but all of us just enjoy that time with one another. And I think there's a whole nother level of respect and admiration for God's beauty and his creation that we get when we get to the top of one of these mountains.
Mm.
And all can share that experience together on a deeper spiritual level, as opposed to, you know, otherwise. So very thankful for that group of guys, and we continue to carve out that week in all of our schedules every year together. And again, very fortunate to get all that time with them, and especially my dad. He's 64 now, and he's still keeping up with the young pups and skiing double black diamonds with us, and just would love to continue to do this as long as he's able.
Yeah, and that's great, great fellowship that you described. Let's close by having you share about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, the family that the two of you have started, and two men that you say you have a devotion to and why that is.
Yeah, so I've been married to my wife, Mary Kate, now for coming on 5 years this September. Just so incredibly blessed to know her and for God to cross our paths together. We got married in 2019 and then very shortly after found out that we were pregnant with our son, Leo. The COVID pandemic hit. So very trying time, I think, for all of us, but especially as a newlywed pregnant couple during a pandemic. But we've grown so much closer through that, and we're so incredibly thankful for our son, Leo. He's three now. We have taken him skiing in the front yard in Minnesota where we get enough snow to do that. And hopefully we'll be able to have a lot of those same experiences that I've had with my own father with him in the future. But love him dearly, and just how much of a gift it is to be a father, and how that's changed my faith life as well, of being able to look at my son with so much love and grace and forgiveness and realize that God looks at me that same way, but way more than I ever do to my own son. And that's been a very beautiful, I guess, change in my prayer life. And as far as the devotion, so tying back to my son, I would say I have two saints, or to be saints, that I definitely pray to and have prayed to since getting back into skiing. One of them is Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, incredible Italian man of faith who was known for his love of the mountains. We named Leo, his middle name is Giorgio, after Blessed Pier Giorgio. And there's a beautiful mountain woodwork that's in his room that says Verso l'Alto, which is Pier Giorgio's catchphrase, is essentially calling to the heights, not only with climbing mountains and skiing mountains, but also to looking upwards to God. And then JP2, who was an incredible skier. And one of my favorite quotes from his is somebody asked him if it's unbecoming for a cardinal to ski. And he replied, "It's only unbecoming of a cardinal to ski badly." And so there's pictures of him skiing in his full garments. And again, two men of incredible faith that also found solace and found God in their adventures in the mountains.
Beautiful, beautiful. Robbie, it's been so wonderful having you on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you so much for making time to be on the show today, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Folks, it really struck me as Robbie and I were communicating in the lead up to today in our correspondence, I just felt such pride that he takes in his call to being a dad. You heard him talk about his son, and you also heard about the unique circumstances that he and his wife went through. And now today on this interview, you heard him say, "I previously identified as a baseball pitcher," and now he obviously identifies first and foremost as a son of God. So I thought that as obvious as it would have been to close with an athlete's prayer, instead with a nod to both him and Mary Kate and their role as Leo's parents, I thought we should close this episode with a prayer for parents. So let's do that together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love within the embrace of their team. May Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.